Over the past 40 years, the craft beer segment has exploded. In 1980, a handful of microbrewery pioneers launched a revolution that would challenge the dominance of the national brands, Budweiser, Coors, and Miller, and change the way Americans think about and drink beer. Today, there are more than 2,700 craft breweries in the United States, with another 1,500 in the works. Their influence is spreading to Europe's great brewing nations and to countries all over the globe. In his new book, The Craft Beer Revolution, Steve Hindy tells the inside story of how a band of homebrewers and microbrewers came together in one of America's great entrepreneurial triumphs. Steve Hindy is the author of Beer School and co-founder, chairman, and president of Brooklyn Brewery, one of America's top 20 breweries, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Steve back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being here, sir.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Very nice to have you with us. When you look at what point, I mentioned 1980 in the introduction, but if you go back, say, 30 years, 35 years, could you have imagined what is taking place right now?
Well, yes, but it was really a dream. Originally my goal was to compete with the imported beers, make beer of import quality here in the U.S. And back in the 80s, imports were like 2 or 3% of the U.S. market. So that was a pretty modest ambition. It's interesting what's happened in those 35 years. Imports have grown to be about 12 or 13% of the U.S. market, and craft beer is now more than 10% and growing very rapidly and will pass the imports shortly. So clearly, American beer drinkers are drinking better beer these days. Overall volume has gone down, but the craft segment and the import segment are both exploding with growth.
I have been told by beer writers, I've been told by brewers, I've been told by beer drinkers that if you look at what this country is producing, and even look especially in the Northeast, that we have some of the finest beer being produced here in the entire world.
Oh, yeah, it's really remarkable. Many of us, my generation of craft brewer, the first generation, we were inspired by the great brewing nations of Europe, Belgium, Germany, the UK, Scandinavia. We traveled and tasted those beers and said, why can't we make beers like this in America? And of course, we did. And now we've taken it way beyond that. The innovation that's happening in America among craft brewers is inspiring brewers all over the world, not just craft brewers starting up, but also the big brewing companies that dominate the world market are paying very close attention to what's happening in the craft segment.
So talk a little bit about what is happening. What have these microbrewers and homebrewers, what have they been able to do to transform the beer that we drink?
Well, as you said in the opening, in 1980, the industry was dominated by essentially three big companies. And that consolidation has continued. Essentially, you have two big companies now, AB InBev and Miller Coors. What we did, when I introduced Brooklyn Lager in 1988 in Brooklyn, it was an amber lager beer. It was actually based on the beers that were brewed in Brooklyn back, 70, 80 years ago. And it was much stronger, much hoppier, darker than any mainstream beer. And frankly, a lot of people tasted it and said, my God, this is so bitter and dark. Why don't you make a beer like Budweiser or Beck's? And I said, well, you don't get one. We're doing something different here. We're bringing flavor back to beer. And luckily, you know, there were people who embraced what we were doing, and eventually we were able to really gain a foothold in New York City and eventually expand our markets way beyond New York. So, you know, that generation of craft brewer, my generation, was making amber ales and porters and stouts, you know, styles that were not commonly known to the American public. But what's happened since then is there's been incredible innovation with, you know, breweries starting up making only Belgian-style beers, breweries, you know, using a lot of traditional and rare ingredients in their beer, and you know, aging the beer in barrels and making sour beer beers and wine barrels, whiskey barrels, rum barrels, mezcal barrels, just incredible innovation now. And now that is being copied by brewers all over the world. And America is really the most fascinating beer-producing country in the world.
And talent wins out, doesn't it? I mean, it's what makes a brewery survive versus a brewery that doesn't, or an establishment survive versus an establishment that doesn't, of a quality product. Meaning that if you say, oh, look, because as you said, you can do so many different things, you can be so creative, and you come up and say, hey, I have a bacon beer. And, well, if it stinks, then okay, it's creative, but people are going to go elsewhere because there's really good beer out there.
No, you're absolutely right. Quality is number one. You've got to make a great beer. And, you know, no matter what the style, you know, whether it's a strawberry wheat beer or as you said, a bacon beer or a coffee stout, it's got to be a quality product. And ultimately, the quality of the beer is going to be what sorts out, you know, the winners from the losers. You know, having said that, you got to have a great beer. You also have to have great marketing. You have to have a great label. You have to have a great image for your company. There are a lot of things you have to get right to succeed in the beer business.
How much, talk about the marketing a little bit, for Brooklyn, using Brooklyn as an example, how much do you think was based on image and labeling and making a resonating with people to say, okay, this is a good beer and I'm going to come back to it?
Well, as I said, you've got to make a great beer. But for us, Brooklyn has turned out to be a golden you know, image for the company. And it's kind of funny because in the mid-80s, when I was putting this whole thing together, a lot of people, including lifelong Brooklyn people, said, are you sure you want to call it Brooklyn? I mean, the image is not so great of Brooklyn these days. You know, there was high crime, and I mean, it was a whole different world back then. But Brooklyn has turned out to be just an incredible calling card for us. We now sell beer in 25 states, about half the country, and we sell in more than 25 countries around the world. And I attribute a lot of that appeal to the name Brooklyn, because Brooklyn now, today, has become you know, a symbol of entrepreneurship, of creative class workers, tech companies, and companies, food and beverage companies of all kinds starting up in Brooklyn, which is really, you know, fitting because Brooklyn has always been a place where people make things and do things and create things.
One of the things I found fascinating about the book is that you talk about this first generation of craft brewers and coming in and what you have done. And with that came a surge of breweries and restaurants that had breweries attached to them. And this went for about 10 years, and it became a little bit of a fad. And then a lot of them went out of business. And What you talk about in the book is really some of the turnaround that you were able to do as an industry, and quite frankly, a lot of wrangling and fighting with governments, state and local, as to working out how you could stay in business.
Yeah, you know, for many states, actually, I think for every state, the idea that someone wanted to start a brewery was a revolution. You know, the people at the state liquor authority looked at me and said, "You mean a distributor?" And I said, "No, I'm going to start a brewery." And they said, "Well, you know, we'll have to look into that," because no one had started a brewery in New York City in like, you know, almost 100 years. And I think that was true all over the country. So we had to work to get, in some cases, to get laws changed, you know, to make it easier for us to get into business. And, you know, craft breweries now, today, employ more than 110,000 people across the country. And in New York State alone, there are like 160 craft breweries employing, you know, tens of thousands of people. So it's become a really important industry, and our political clout has grown along with our businesses. So, you know, our Brewers Association now has a lobbyist in Washington, and we've been able to create Brewers Guilds in all 50 states because, you know, beer is regulated state by state. So you've got to have a presence in every state to look out for your interest.
When you see companies like Goose Island or Magic Hat selling out to the big guys, what does that do for the industry as a whole?
Well, I think the jury's still out on that. My feeling is that, you know, Anheuser-Busch InBev or Miller Coors creating their own craft-like beers like Blue Moon or Shock Top, or buying Goose Island or Blue Point here in New York, I think that ultimately is going to contribute to the growth of the craft beer. I think for the big breweries, this whole craft beer thing is a real dilemma, because the more marketing and the more support they put into their craft-like brands and the craft breweries they buy, the more they continue to undercut their giant brands like, you know, Bud, Coors, and Miller. Budweiser has declined every year since 1988, the year that we started in business. I mean, it's been a very slow and steady erosion, but I think for the big brewers, it's a real dilemma. You know, the more money they put behind their craft brands, the more they continue to erode their giant brands.
I live in a small village, and you know, 2,500 people, and we have a brewery. We have a brewery that opened up about a year and a half ago. And what's fascinating to me is that people of all walks of life, and I think that's what's fascinating about this entire industry, which you talk about in the book, is about the demographics, because it's everybody who is interested in a good product, and here again, it's quality, so they have really good beer, will go in and will lay down, you know, $5 or $6 for a pint, because it's a quality product, but it's also become very much a part of the community, which I know is part of what you were able to do so successfully.
Oh, yeah, that's been, I think, the most important contribution that craft brewers have made to America is the sense of community that they've fostered in, you know, every city, in many cities across the country, and small towns as well. You know, when we came to the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn in the mid-80s, there was very high crime. There were a lot of abandoned buildings. Actually, I got robbed at gunpoint at one point, and, you know, we had a run-in with some shady mob-like guys when we were building our brewery. And that whole neighborhood has just blossomed since we started up there. We opened our doors to the community. We did, there were art shows held, a lot of artists in that neighborhood. There were community events that were staged at the brewery when there was a rezoning process for that part of Brooklyn. A lot of the public hearings happened at the brewery. So the brewery really became part of the community, became a center of the community. And craft brewers all across the country had played a similar role. And I think that's a big reason for our success.
You write about in the book, in our final moments here, you write in the book a lot about, there's a fairly large section in here about one of my favorites, which is New Belgian Brewing Company in Fort Collins, Colorado. And it's a nice example of what they've been able to do because they were quirky, but as going back to something that you mentioned very early on in our conversation, of taking a Belgian style and just going with it.
Yeah, New Belgium is a fine example of what I call the second generation of craft brewers, really the innovative generation. It was started by a husband and wife, Kim Jordan and Jeff Levitch, and they started out in their basement making Belgian-style beer, which, is pretty quirky stuff. We're able to gain a foothold there in Colorado, and now they're actually, I think they're the third biggest craft brewery. And Kim Jordan is still CEO of that company, a very dear friend of mine, and she's really put Belgian-style beer on the map in America.
Well, the book is fascinating. Anyone who has any interest in the subject really should read the story because it's a wonderful history. It's The Craft Beer Revolution, How a Band of Microbrewers is Transforming the World's Favorite Drink. Steve Hindy is the author of the book, as well as being co-founder and chairman of Brooklyn Breweries, one of America's top 20 breweries. The book is published by Palgrave Macmillan. Steve, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. Wonderful to have you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Again, The Craft Beer Revolution is out from Palgrave Macmillan. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.